You're listening to the Save the Marriage Podcast. Your marriage can be saved and strengthened if you have the right information. Join Dr. Lee Baucom as he explores ways for you to improve your relationship and your life, starting right now.
Hey, this is Lee Baucom. Welcome to the Save the Marriage Podcast. This is the podcast where we're here to help you understand how to step forward in your marriage, how to really work and move forward in transforming not just your marriage, but your life. Because whatever we do in one area of our life, we're often doing in all areas of our life. So when we find skills that help us in one area, they're going to help other areas. And today I want to cover one of those topics. And what we want to talk about are the five communication mistakes that you're probably making in some way in your relationship. In fact, you may find that you make this mistake in lots of areas of life, and you want to really change not just how you do it in your marriage, but how you do it throughout your life. So let's just talk some about what I mean by communication, because if you've read my material and you're familiar with my approach, you already know that I kind of poo-poo on the whole communication theory of therapy. That doesn't mean that I'm against communication as a tool, as a method of understanding what's going on in your marriage. It's just simply that when I hear therapists who focus only on how a couple is communicating, I think they miss the point that underneath communication is perception of each other. And the reason that perceptions get skewed is because of a lack of connection with each other. So communication is one piece of the picture, but it's not the piece that I like to focus on. That said, there are some mistakes that people make when they are trying to communicate, especially communicate with a loved one. So today I'm not going to be talking so much about the perceptions or the connection piece. Connection, perception, communication are all a piece of the same spectrum, but today I just want to really focus in on the mistakes that people make in communication. Now I got to warn you, this is step one. Today we're going to talk about the mistakes that people make, and I'm going to give you some clues on how to change it, but when we really start digging in with how to change it, that's going to be a bit beyond the scope of this particular podcast. It'll be in a future podcast. What I try to do is make sure that I break this down into digestible pieces so that you don't get overwhelmed, that you have a place to step into and you have a place to step forward. So if you're keeping track of how this fits into the three steps to saving your marriage, and step one is about connection, step two is about changing yourself, and step three is about creating a new path, this is a topic that really covers all of them, but is a lot about when you discover what mistakes you're making, it's about changing yourself. Now let me be clear. I'm not talking about the fact that there's something wrong with you as much as we all have places of growth. We all have places where we can grow into, where we can understand differently, and have a bigger presence in our own life. And so this is one of those areas of communication. When we are communicating better, we're not only connecting with our spouse, but we're able to communicate better about where we want to go. We're also changing ourselves in some fundamental places. Now, there are five clear communication mistakes that I've seen couples make over and over and over, and I just want you to kind of go through your own mind and decide how they fit for you. One warning, don't use this as a way of diagnosing how bad a communicator your spouse is or what mistakes your spouse makes. That may be that you are very accurate in your perceptions, and you're very accurate in understanding the miscommunication that's coming from your spouse. I would challenge you on one piece, though, and that is what you have control over, what you have the power to change. And you don't have the power to change the communication style of a spouse. You can be a better model of communication. You can decide that you're going to change how you communicate so that you're not making some of these common errors. But that doesn't mean your spouse is the one who needs to make the change. It's possible that they ought to make a change. That doesn't mean that you have the power to control it. And one of the pieces that I'm always about is, what do you have control over? What do you have the power of changing? And it's always back to saying, here is what I am going to change. This is where I am going to change my methodology. Okay, so let's talk about these communication errors. They're big five, and these big five are the ones that tend to create frustration between couples, miscommunication between couples, broken connection between couples, and are really sticking points. I see them over and over when I'm talking to individuals, but also when I'm watching couples communicate. Now, I will warn you, these aren't just communication errors between spouses. These are communication errors that we all make throughout our lives. I see them with friends, with family members. I see myself make these mistakes. And so understand that these are very common errors that pop up. And what we're trying to do is not eliminate the errors, that's not possible, but to reduce them and to understand them differently and understand where they come from. Okay, so let's just jump in and talk about these five communication errors so that you know what you're doing and just kind of think through it and ask yourself, is this something I do? The first communication mistake I watch people make is that they get into interrogating. There is a difference between communication and interrogation, right? I mean, they end the same, but communication is different than interrogation. It's the difference between listening to learn from somebody and listening to gather evidence. So let's kind of talk through what I mean by that. First, I have a belief that we all have this script writer that's running around in our head that's creating the stories of how we're going to talk and how we're going to understand the world around us. And so we're following that script. And so we have these ideas in our head that we want to express to someone else. The problem is that person has a script writer in their head. And so when we get stuck on our script, we stop listening to their script. And so it begins to be a battle of the scripts. And what often happens is that two people are talking, but they're not listening. Neither is really listening to the other. They're only listening for the evidence they need for the rebuttal to respond, or they're only waiting for their opportunity to step in and share the truth, and I put that in huge quotes. And so when we're in that frame, we're in interrogation mode, not communication mode. So interrogation may be that when you want to show your spouse that they've done something wrong, you begin to ask questions. Why did you do that? What were you thinking when you did that? And what you're really doing is not really wanting to know, you know, to get to the place where they're sharing why they did that. You're wanting to prove them wrong, A. And B, it's not an openness to the possibility. When we're in interrogation mode, even as the other person is sharing what was going on with them, we're always doing the yeah, but. And so the yeah, but is our rebuttal. They'll say, this is why I did that. And we'll say, yes, but. And yes, but means what you just said is crazy and foolish, and I'm not really listening to it because here's what I believe. We get so deeply involved in that mode that we're not able to listen to the other person and understand their worldview. Now, again, if you're familiar with my process, you understand that part of my process is trying to listen and treasure the other person's differences. Listen for those differences and treasure those differences in worldview. That the fact is we don't have to see things alike. We don't have to understand things the same way in order to be a successful couple. In fact, one of the big myths of marriage is that we have to see things just alike in order to get by. It's a huge myth and really renders people incapable of bringing forth their best self. Instead of bringing forth your best, truest self, what you're bringing forth is an acting part, is you pretend like you're on the same page. And then when things go awry, we tend to get into this interrogation mode because the interrogation mode is designed to show the other person how they're wrong and get them on the same track. Now just imagine two people in interrogation mode. One is bad enough. But what often happens in an argument is both are in interrogation mode. Not only are they in interrogation mode, but they're in exclamation mode. They're exclaiming their belief system. And when they're exclaiming their belief system, you're not listening to where the other person's beliefs are. You're stuck in trying to prove yourself right and the other person wrong. This is the reason that arguments are so useless in communication styles, because it's two people with two different opinions, not really listening to the other person's, only trying to get them to switch to theirs. And in that process, we get into this first mistake of interrogating and exclaiming, interrogation, exclamation, where we're interrogating the other person, trying to get them kind of tear down, you know, their belief system and tear down their argument and replace it with our own argument. You know those police shows where they've got the person in an interrogation room and they're working and working to trip them up, and finally the person falls apart and they admit their wrongness? Well, that's the little script writer we have in our head, that's going to happen. It rarely happens because the other person is doing the same thing. So when we get in that interrogation exclamation mode, we're frozen. We freeze each other in that spot. And so the first big communication mistake I want to highlight is that interrogation mode, which is quickly followed by the exclamation mode. Okay, so then what is the second common communication mistake? That is to be indirect. You know, interrogation exclamation is not about being direct. It's about refusing to listen to the other person. So it's not the opposite of indirect. It's just another way of communication. But indirect is when you're unwilling to state clearly what you want, what you need, and what you're thinking. You hint around it. And you might be familiar with this. This is one of those places, kind of my pet peeves. In fact, when somebody is being indirect with me, I recognize they're being indirect, and I also recognize what's behind it. And because it bothers me so, I refuse to even pretend like I understand what they're telling me. I force them to be direct as often as I can because this is one of my clear pet peeves. Does that mean I'm always direct? Absolutely not. But it's one of those places where I recognize that I want to try to be more and more direct. Being indirect is about not saying what you really mean. Now, there's a reason that we often play this, and it's based in one central piece. It's fear. We're afraid that if we say what we want, we're not going to get it. Here's the problem. When we're indirect, we almost guarantee we're not going to get what we want, at least in any clean way. That the other person is going to have had to be responsible for us in ways that they don't need to be because they're having to read our minds. Now, notice where there's that other common little mistake that happens in communication, where we assume the other person, if they love us, if they care for us, if they're important in our lives, should be able to know what we mean. In other words, should be able to read our minds. This comes from this being indirect. When we're indirect, we're making the other person responsible for figuring out what's really going on in our head. And it is a deadly disease, because then when it doesn't happen, you build resentment on why this other person can't read your mind. Now, understand that your spouse may be being indirect with you. Right now, I'm highlighting the communication mistakes and only want to remind you that your choice is on how you will communicate. So you can choose to not be indirect. That doesn't mean you're always going to get what you want. See, the thing about communication is that just because you communicate well, just because you understand how to get your message across, doesn't mean you're going to get everything you want. But you'll get a lot closer than if you miss the mistakes. You hit all these mistakes and you're indirect and you're not clear, and suddenly what you want is left to the guess of the other person. A very painful place for both people to be. So my suggestion is that you look at where you tend to be indirect. They're going to tell you about your fears. If you're indirect about things you want to do, places you want to go, you might want to think why that's the case, where that hooks you, how that gets you stuck, because somewhere along the way you learn that you weren't supposed to get what you wanted or go where you wanted to go. Or maybe you find yourself being indirect about physical attention or emotional attention or contact with your spouse. And so you hint around at it, you pretend at it, you play at it, because somewhere along the way you learned that it was dangerous to be clear about what you want in terms of contact because you weren't going to get it. So this begins to be a way of you understanding not just the communication mistake, but perhaps some fears that are behind all of it. Whenever we're indirect, it's based in a fear, an insecurity that we're not going to get what we really want. So we're going to hint around at it, because if we ask for it and someone says no, that's particularly painful. But if we don't ask for it, if we hint around for it and we get it, wow, that means something. And if we don't get it, we can say, well, you know, what's wrong with this other person? They didn't understand. They didn't read my mind. Okay, so the second communication mistake we make is about being indirect, not being clear about what we really mean, what we really want, what's important to us. The third mistake is being accusatory. Another way of saying that is that we communicate in blaming ways. When we're blaming others, the first thing we're doing is we're removing all responsibility from ourselves. Right? That's the nature of blame. Blame is to say, you are responsible for how I'm feeling, and now you've got to fix that. You've got to figure out why this bothers me so. So this accusatory blaming style is where we drop away from a sense of responsibility and also a sense of joint ownership of the relationship and of life. And we go to a you versus I. This is not me. This is about you. You are to blame for where we are. So we become accusatory. And we're very creative about being that accusatory tone. When we find ourselves blaming the other person, we are likely to be coming out of an accusatory tone. Now, that doesn't mean that the other person has never done anything wrong, that there's no such thing as them doing something wrong. It's just the tone we use. Let me tell you some interesting research that comes from John Gottman. John Gottman is one of my favorite researchers. He's the person who runs the Love Lab out in California. And what he does is he brings couples in and he observes them. And they do some scientific studies of these couples. It's one of the most scientific studies of couples. And what they've done is created an apartment that has cameras in every room except for the bathroom and the bedroom. And so whenever they're in daily conversation, it's being recorded and the research team can observe that. Well, John Gottman has gotten so good at noticing how people are responding to each other that he can predict with a high level of efficiency of who's going to be able to stay together and who's not going to make it. In other words, he's got a prediction path for people who will end up divorced. Well, part of his research had to do with how people communicate with each other, and he starts talking about harsh startups and soft startups. A harsh startup is always an accusatory blaming frame. A soft startup is not. So a harsh startup may be, you need to sit down and listen to me because you really screwed up. Okay, that is A, accusatory, B, blaming, and three, very harsh as a startup. Instead of saying, honey, could you sit down? I need to talk to you about something that's really hurt my feelings. Notice the difference in those two. You really screwed up versus my feelings are hurt. One is claiming responsibility for that. My feelings are hurt. I'm claiming my feelings. I'm claiming a place of I versus starting with you. You may be familiar with the I statements. I feel blank when you blank. That is a great formula for trying to step away from being accusatory. But you've got to recognize that sometimes even an I statement can be blaming. When the other person is made fully responsible for your emotions, you're still in a blame frame. You may be saying it more gently. You may be saying it more helpfully, but you're still careful to look at the blaming frame. Still, the mistake is always starting with you. At least you soften it when you start with I. Okay, so that accusatory blaming frame is where we recognize that we begin to step on the other person. We begin to push against them and make them responsible for how we're feeling. And when we do that, we have abdicated our own responsibility. And we've put the blame on the other person, making them responsible for how we're feeling. So quickly, just to kind of put us where we are, the first mistake, cut it off. We slice off that piece because the other person cannot deal with all the emotions, cannot deal with all the information, and has no clear way of responding. So they stop listening at all. Sometimes they even escape the situation, or they shut off the emotional connection, or they respond with anger, which shuts off the connection between the two of you. So the fourth mistake I watch people make is flooding. So what might the fifth mistake be? Well, the fifth mistake is quite the opposite of flooding. It's withholding. It's not sharing what is important. When we withhold the information that's important, when we withhold our feelings, when we withhold sharing, we starve the relationship. Sometimes we do it to starve the relationship. Sometimes we do it to prove that we don't need this other person, that we don't want to be in a relationship with them. And so we create the barriers so that there is no sharing. There's no way they can get to us. There's no way we're going to let somebody in, or there's no way we're going to give them any room to make things better. So when we withhold, we starve the relationship. Now, the other person might have a couple of different responses. Early on, when somebody's withholding information, the other person is often becomes very persistent in trying to get the information. You know, it becomes kind of a challenge, trying to get beyond that. And sometimes that's the dance that couples get in, where one is withholding the information and the other takes it on as their job to kind of crack in. And so they keep trying to find the cracks in the wall, and they keep trying to scale the wall, and they keep trying to dig underneath, and they keep trying to find ways of opening the other person up. That can end up being a very dangerous dance, because eventually the other person is going to say, I give up. I'm not going to keep trying to figure out what's with you. I will walk away. That's when the withholding shows how weak that strategy is. So instead of showing strength by holding all that stuff in, it's really a weakness and a fear of sharing who you are and what you believe. And when you do that, you starve the relationship to the level that the other person will eventually walk away. Okay, so let's go quickly through those communication mistakes one more time. The first one is getting stuck in interrogation exclamation mode. That's where you are trying to either disprove the other person's belief system by gathering information or get your beliefs in. That's basically the frame that happens when couples get into an argument. The second error is being indirect, when you will not say what you really mean, but you hint at it, hoping the other person will pick up the clues and move forward with that. The third mistake is being accusatory or blaming, getting into the you frame, which is different than the soft startup of, I need to tell you about my hurt feelings. Notice just the difference in you versus I. Notice that, how easily it shifts. You feels like an affront. I is about sharing. So when we become accusatory and blaming, we're stepping away from our own responsibility and we're putting it on the other person. The fourth mistake is flooding. Just giving too much information, too much emotionality, too much anything, process to it. And the other person is just so overwhelmed because they don't even know where to start. They may want desperately to connect and to respond in some way. They just don't even know how because so much has come at them. And the fifth mistake is withholding, not sharing what is important. Starving the relationship of connection so that the other person either is having to work to get the information or finally gives up. So let me make a suggestion that you kind of watch yourself and see which of these mistakes you're prone to. We all have points in our communication where we're going to be imperfect. None of us are perfect communicators, because behind all of that are our fears and our insecurities that keep us stuck in these patterns. All of these five mistakes are bound in the pattern of fear, that the fear gets us overwhelmed, and so we begin to communicate unclearly. Watch yourself and watch you as you communicate with your spouse about which of those patterns really kick in for you, and that's going to give you some ways of understanding differently, of watching yourself. And then in future podcasts, we're going to talk about how to unwind those communication mistakes. In the meantime, if you're ready to really step ahead and you're ready to really kind of start working on your marriage from a positive angle rather than trying to wrestle it to the ground and beat it up, then I invite you to grab my Save the Marriage material, the system. The Save the Marriage system is a wonderful way of getting around those tough spots. You can grab that simply by going to SaveTheMarriage.com. SaveTheMarriage.com will get you there, and you can find on how to get that system and really start implementing that. Also want to invite you to share this information. You know, if you want people to know that you've gotten something out of this and you're on Twitter, the easiest thing to do is just type into your browser, savethemarriage.com/love. That's savethemarriage.com/love. And it's going to put a pre-written tweet in ready to go. All you have to do is hit send. You can always change it and edit it. But that would help us help other people. Also, if you're listening to this on iTunes, it would be great if you would just go in and leave a review on iTunes and let people know that you're finding something useful. Either way, I would love to know what you're getting out of this. You've got room right below to write a comment, or if you have an idea, if you have some way of following up something that this really brought up for you, I would love an email at podcast@savethemarriage.com. That's podcast@savethemarriage.com. But always feel free to leave your comments right below and just let people know where you are with this. Maybe you can talk about what mistakes you hear in your own head when you're communicating. And even one way of dealing with that is just to write them out and say, you know, I'm going to claim this for myself and say I'm going to change it. So you can put that in the comments area below. Now, know that we're here. Know that we're here to work with you. We're here to help you. I'm here to help you save your marriage. And I'll be back next week with the next podcast of Save the Marriage.
You've been listening to Save the Marriage Podcast. For more information and help, please visit us at SaveTheMarriage.com.